shots. Turning to look for Dex, Napalm saw that creatures were coming down from the hills. Some had purple skin barely visible under their brown clothes, and he recognized them as mercenary aliens his kind called Kolak, the word for a plant very similar to Earth's eggplants. He had always loved squishing those little bastards when he got the chance. Seeing Dex floating through them like a shadow and chopping them to bits, he shouted, "Save some for me!" sent two more blasts of energy up to destroy more drones, and then ran off to help fight the Kolak. "Where are you going?" Karma demanded as he hurried past, turning to see. Her eyes went wide, and then Napalm saw why. Quan was running back their way, dodging left and right as a small army came after him. Close behind zoomed a cruiser, shooting lasers. Napalm sighed at the thought of putting off the Kolak squashing, and instead focused his energy on the cruiser. He probably only had one or two more good blasts in him, so he made sure this one counted. His energy struck the front of the cruiser, causing an explosion that left much of the ship intact so that it careened into the surrounding drones, knocking them from the sky before it hit the ground with an explosion. As the fire and smoke cleared, a larger ship appeared, dwarfing the cruiser in size and apparent firepower.
"Commander Blaze,"
Napalm said, his voice dripping with irritation.
"This is my night,"
Karma muttered at Napalm's side, hefting up her sword as Commander Blaze's ship faced their direction and lowered to set down more troops. Quan was engaged in combat against two soldiers who had appeared from the hills, and now Napalm saw more men coming at them.
"Maybe there's another way?"
he shouted to Karma.
"I mean, other than killing everyone?"
She was about to respond when a fluttering sounded and then a thud. Napalm spun to see Hadrian, Sam in one arm and a strange man with wild purple hair gripped firmly with his other hand.
"Kill them all, but I want a word with the commander,"
Hadrian commanded. A loud sigh came from Karma, just before she shot another drone out of the sky.
"Can I pretend I didn't hear that and just slit his throat?"
"No."
"Fine."
She ran forward, sword at the ready, and shouted back,
"I'll keep him alive, don't worry, but I don't like it."
"That'll do,"
Hadrian called back, and then glanced around at the chaos.
"We don't have time for this."
Tossing the man to the ground and then releasing Samantha, he started shooting out blasts of energy as Napalm had taught him long ago. Napalm laughed with excitement as he watched this master of the craft go to town on their enemies. Drones exploded, soldiers fell to the ground as their legs were knocked out from under them, and Kolak heads imploded.
"Save some for us!"
Samantha shouted as she took a knee and aimed in, shooting down one of the drones. Hadrian paused, then nodded.
"You all do need the experience,"
he admitted.
"Very well, but make it fast and bring Commander Blaze to the ship when you're done."
Samantha smiled, then pressed the button that caused her helmet to unfold, covering her head and face. Napalm glanced over, excited to finally see what this young woman was capable of. Samantha wasn't about to let her first display of her military prowess in front of her team be anything less than legendary. Using her full speed and upgraded strength to lift her rifle and keep it steady, she ran at her enemy, blasting them as she went. Years fighting against the Syndicate had turned her into a battle-hardened war machine, one that knew how guns of every size and shape worked. Drones fell before her, Kolak in mounds. When the armored soldiers emerged from Commander Blaze's ship, shielded in gray and green armor and weapons at the ready, she almost felt like she was back home. Except she had never been able to fight quite like this back home. It gave her a rush,
the sounds of her teammates fighting at her side, the knowledge that the explosions before them were their enemies being destroyed. Then she reached the line of new arrivals and exchanged the rifle for her sword, smiling as she saw its green glow reflect on her enemy. Some sort of targeting system, she surmised. She knew it was a light that only she could see through the visor, but it made her feel more powerful. Commander Blaze's ship lifted back into the air, and a command came out in his voice.
Surrender, members of the Alliance, or you will be fired upon!
More ships were coming up behind him now, their massive guns big enough to cause Samantha to take a step back. However, Napalm moved forward, smiling.
My turn,
he said, then lifted his hands toward the enemy fleet. A shockwave went through the air, and then the middle three ships exploded. The nearby ships careened out of control, knocking into each other, and then, finally, the commander's ship. It spun, trying to regain its position, spraying bullets into the ground at Samantha's feet. She dove out of the way, rolling back, and came to a kneeling position where she could watch as he created a smaller explosion on one of the ship's wings. The ship couldn't stay up now and slammed into the ground moments later. Two of Commander Blaze's soldiers emerged, pulling him to safety, and then all three of them were charging in for the fight. Dex took out one, sweeping through the darkness like a ghost, his blade sending the man's body in two separate directions. Karma was on the third, while Quan continued to blast away at the others on the hills, leaving Samantha to happily deal with this commander prick. Blaze surprised her by throwing a disc that exploded nearby and sent a shockwave through her system. He had a gun out before she had recovered, and laser beams tore through the ground at her side, but she was rolling, using her speed and ready for each shot. The last blast flew at her, about to hit. She raised her arm and the shield formed, absorbing the shot before fizzling away. Shield down, recharge in 1 minute, her HUD said. She had better end this right now, before another use of the shield became mandatory. She dove forward, came up in a roll, and sliced. But the commander blocked with a force field shield of his own, and then kicked her in the thigh before landing a punch across her face. The strikes didn't do much damage through her armor, but were jarring. Apparently the commander had meant them as a distraction, because now he had his gun aimed in on her face mask, point blank. Could the armor take that? She was skeptical. Not that it mattered, though, because Quan had seen what was happening and turned his fire on the commander. Two shots pinged off the man's armor, giving Samantha enough time to recover, knock the gun aside, and slam the commander across the face with all the strength she could muster. To her delight, the blow sent his helmet flying off his head. He turned to her with a look of horror and shock. With a kick, she sent him flying backward. He landed, shook his head as he pushed himself up, and then prepared to charge back into the fight. He froze, a blade at his throat. Karma held the handle of the blade and looked up to remove her mask and show her smile. I do so love a good victory, Karma whispered into the commander's ear, then heaved him up and started marching him back to Hadrian. Samantha prepared herself to join the rest of the fight, but was a little let down to see that the others had either taken the rest out or sent them fleeing back to the hills. Karma stopped 3 paces from Hadrian, kicked out the commander's knee, and threw him at Hadrian's feet.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Hadrian asked. Commander Blaze grunted in pain, pushing himself up to a kneeling position.
We go to the biggest bidder. You've always known that.
Hadrian sighed, a heaviness in his eyes. He turned back to Karma.
This man and his followers are no longer friendly to the Alliance. You have permission to turn him over to your planet.
Karma's eyes flared with excitement, a satisfied smile spreading across her face.
Go on.
Hadrian nodded toward the ship.
You can notify them from there, and have my crew give them the coordinates.
They waited, and when she returned, she looked truly happy for the first time since they'd known her. They'll be here soon, Karma said, with a grateful nod to Hadrian. I'm sure they would like to thank you.
I'm not taking sides in your war,
Hadrian replied.
All we're doing here is removing a group that has proven themselves disloyal to the Alliance.
In time, you'll learn that we don't fight them simply because of the dangly bits between their legs, Karma said. In fact, there are those among their kind that we wouldn't call enemies. It just so happens that most males of my species are on the wrong side of this war. Hadrian gave her a curt nod, then walked off to board his ship. Chapter 13. Hadrian's Ship, Simulation Center. Samantha stood with the others in a new room, similar to the training room where she had earned her armor. It fit so comfortably, she barely noticed she still wore it. It even had a cooling system that felt rather natural, like a spring day. They were rapidly approaching Antano Fos Prime, the planet Hadrian told them housed the elders and became his new home after his own planet had met a horrific fate.
Before we arrive, Hadrian said,
pacing across the metallic floor,
I'm going to send you all as a group into your simulation. This will be the location we just left, with one goal. We have the man the elders wanted, and they'll get the information they need. But we want to find this boy, and see what else we can learn in the process.
So then why all of us? Samantha asked. And why this way?
If he's jumping like I suppose he is, I suspect he has some way of knowing when you are jumping, and will therefore come to you.
He paused, looking at the rest of them.
The rest of you are going to hold off any straggling attackers, so that Samantha and the boy have a chance to talk.
So we're chaperones, Karma said with a laugh, turning to leave. Call me when the date's over. I need my beauty sleep. Hadrian gave her a look, and she stopped mid-step, then returned to her spot with a barely noticeable nod.
How's all this connect?
Napalm asked. Quan said something in Korean, to which Hadrian nodded. Hadrian stared at the spot behind them, a large hexagon like the others in the training rooms, only this one would fit them all.
In more ways than I can explain,
he replied.
The simple version is that we had you all train for the specific purpose of hoping you would find a clue. This is a very large and important clue. The boy might be related to why the enemy is able to use our gates. I thought...
Napalm's eyes went wide. What? Samantha asked. Hadrian gave him a nod.
Only Hadrian's people can create and control gates,
Napalm explained. Now it was Sam's turn to show her surprise. But I thought... She didn't want to say it. She thought the rest of his people had been killed. Smiling with a distant, sorrow-filled gaze, Hadrian turned from salt and peppered-haired man to the old disfigured man. The reasoning behind this resonated with Samantha immediately. She had never paid much attention to the slightly yellow tint to his skin, or the small triangle barely visible on his forehead, just under his receding hairline. Oh! She exclaimed as it hit her. He's one of you?
And likely a traitor at that. It's the only way to explain the gates,
Napalm confirmed.
Someone survived. Taken by the enemy, forced into this.
Napalm frowned.
Or betrayed you?
Hadrian breathed deep, then shook his head.
I cannot accept that.
For a long moment, everyone turned to Napalm. He very much seemed to want to say something to that, but finally clenched his jaw.
We're ready,
Karma offered, breaking the tension.
Most of you have likely increased your skill points since the skirmish down there,
Hadrian reminded them.
I want to make sure you are all at your best. Please, take a moment to upgrade.
Samantha was pleased when she put on the helmet and saw she had 4 skill points ready for her. Her sword was due for a skill add-on as well. A new function showed up that she hadn't noticed before. It allowed her to swipe right on her display simply by gesturing with her hand in the air. When she did, she saw 2 skill trees, each showing combinations of different skills that unlocked based on skills from before. Wow, this was going to get complicated. However, at the bottom of 1 skill tree was the image of her surrounded by lightning. There was no doubt in her mind that she would achieve that skill tree, so she worked backward and selected one of the top 2 skills available to her for that particular branch. It was entitled Lightning Shield, and she had to imagine that was something cool. She applied the rest of her skill points to Grip, after having seen how she could run along walls with that skill. Her sword was next, and she picked an image that looked like lightning, figuring it would be cool to match the sword with the specialization branch she had chosen. An image on her screen showed her, sword charged and glowing. When she thrust it forward, electricity lit around the sword for a moment before vanishing. That could be damn useful, she thought with a shiver of excitement. Finishing, she lifted her visor to see the rest were looking at her.
How many points did you have?
Karma asked.
5. Why?
Karma laughed, and Quan nodded his approval.
They each had 1 or 2,
Hadrian noted,
though they hadn't been on the other side of the hills, as we were.
He gestured.
If you are all ready, begin.
Samantha lowered her visor and was the first to step onto the silver hexagon. She expected to instantly reappear planetside, but nothing happened until they were all in position. Then Hadrian made a hand gesture that must have been a command. Instantly, they were back on the planet, but now at the edge of the small camouflaged outpost they had originally set off for.
The old man must have set a jump point here, Karma stated, glancing around at the line of dead soldiers and drones nearby. Guess they haven't cleaned up yet.
Who would?
Quan asked. He had a good point. They had taken down these forces, and likely started the chain reaction that would win Karma's people her civil war.
Spread out,
Napalm said.
We'll cover possible entries and exits, like Hadrian said, to give Sam room.
As they moved out, Sam glanced around, debating her next move. Her heart raced at the thought of being back here again, so soon after what they had just fought through to get out. But now it was slightly less risky, at least. She glanced back and saw the light silhouette of her jump point, glowing faintly like a ghost. She walked back over to the now destroyed outpost, its camouflage canopies flapping in the wind, torn to shreds. Walking into a place like this, she wasn't sure what to expect. So when the boy suddenly materialized before her, she was almost relieved. She had always been the type to prefer direct confrontations over wandering around not knowing what would happen.
Ralod, she started, I don't think you've been honest with me.
A wicked smile slowly spread across his face.
You all messed with my playthings. You're going to have to say you're sorry.
She wasn't sure what he meant, but when he glanced around at the dead drones, she got it.
They attacked us. You do realize that, right?
Oh, you don't know anything about an attack, he replied, and then started to laugh.
As he stepped back toward the light that would take him out of there, he said,
I know Hadrian's watching. Tell him to crawl back under the rock and, well, tell him this for me. You never deserved her.
With that, he stepped into his light and was gone, leaving behind only the sound of a sudden cacophony of shots from all directions. Samantha spun to see gunshots and lasers lighting up where her teammates had secreted themselves. A projection appeared on her HUD, and she knew they were all seeing it. Hadrian appeared at her side, looking more alarmed than she had ever seen him.
Return immediately, he said. We're under attack.
Samantha spun to make her way back to the light that would carry her out of there, but saw that a crew of Kolak had blocked her way, along with a tall battle mech. What happened if she was killed here? If she never made it back to the jump point? She had meant to ask Hadrian that, and preferred not to have to find out firsthand. She pulled out her sword and ran forward, glad she had upgraded her speed so much. With her peripherals, she looked for any ledges she could use the grip upgrades on, but so far, none. Then it hit her. The mech. Now this was going to be fun. Parrying strikes aside and dodging shots, she leaped for the mech. It swatted, knocking her out of the air and rolling across the ground. Her back spasmed in pain as she recovered, but that wasn't going to stop her. This time she ran again, cutting through the Kolak and feeling her sword charge. That gave her another idea. She pivoted around the mech so that it couldn't get a good angle on her, cutting down more Kolak as she went. Spotting a particularly large one, she used it as leverage for her jump. The mech tried to hit her again, but she had an extra 2 feet and she leapt over it easily. The massive metal arm swung beneath her, and she ran up its side, her feet sticking as they had on the wall. She reached the mech's controls and smiled at the Kolak operating the thing, his little purple face scrunched up in anger, then terror, as she brought her fully charged sword up and thrust it through the thick glass. The sword burst with electricity, shattering the glass before going through the Kolak and into the mech's body. Kolak and mech fell, as Samantha pulled her sword free and leaped to safety. Her jump spot was only blocked by several Kolak now, so she charged. As she approached, she saw Dex floating over, cutting through the enemy, and she was reminded how much she still had left to learn about the sword. He was a true master. Quan came charging down from his direction, gun blasting, with Karma bringing up the rear. A Kolak came at her with a strike, and Samantha raised her arm so that her small force field appeared. As soon as her attacker made contact, the shield lit up, sending a wave of electricity through the unfortunate Kolak. He smelled of charred meat as he collapsed to the ground in spasms.
"Where's Napalm?"
Karma shouted as she arrived at the jump spot, the rest of them there except for him. Samantha spun, considering running back out there. The problem with that idea was that she had no idea which direction he had gone. Then she saw two dots of light moving toward them. Fire. Napalm's eyes. He had an army of Kolak on his tail, along with several drones and 2 mechs. The mechs and drones were lighting up the ground behind him with bullets and lasers, gaining on him.
Come on!
Samantha said. She started to run, but he held a hand out. She wasn't sure what was happening until he suddenly stopped, turned, and focused. A rumbling sounded as the ground vibrated, then one of the mechs, and
kaboom!
All of the enemies vanished in an explosion of white flames.
Napalm turned back with a smile, took a step toward them, and fell. There was no hesitation this time. Samantha ran for him, reaching him just as Karma did. They saw several shots had gotten him in the leg and torso.
"Get him to the jump spot!"
Karma shouted, and Samantha turned to see Quan and Dex standing lookout. Together, Quan and Samantha lifted Napalm, while Karma turned to ensure there were no more following them. The flames were still licking the sky. Nothing was coming through there. When they reached the jump spot, Dex was at Napalm's side. He took a layer of cloth from his robes, wrapped the man in it, then waved.
"Go,"
Karma said, helping them pull Napalm into the jump spot. With a flash of light, they were back on Hadrian's ship. A screech sounded and the ship convulsed. Shots echoed, and again the ship shook, causing Samantha to lose her balance. The ship was indeed under attack. Dex kept his robe wrapped around Napalm and said something, to which Karma nodded and motioned for Samantha and Quan to follow her.
"He'll take care of Napalm. Let's get to the bridge and see what's happening."
Samantha didn't want to leave him, but one glance at the slight glow coming from the robe that held him told her he was in good hands. Something was at work here that she couldn't begin to understand. She ran after Quan and Karma, hoping they could keep the ship from being torn apart. Chapter 14. Hadrian's Ship, The Final Gate. Hadrian stood at the control center of his ship, watching as his blasters and turrets took turns tearing the enemy ships from the sky. Unfortunately, they weren't doing a damn thing about the scurries that had now caught up with them. These creatures, pure black with many limbs, lived on the space dragon. But now they were clawing at the metal of his ship and searing through it with their laser eyes. He had thought there was no chance of the dragon finding them, that they were safe. That is, until he saw that boy with the mark of his race. Now it all made sense, though he hated the answer. One of his own was alive. But who? Whoever it was had to be stopped. They would be thrown into a maximum security Alliance prison at best, killed at worst. He had just found out there was one more of his species alive, and he knew all too well that it would be up to him to stop him. If his survival came down to it, Hadrian knew how he would respond, and he had no reason to think the other would act any differently. What this meant, of course, was that at the end of their journey, only one would be left alive. He closed his eyes, focusing his energy. For a moment, the entire universe flowed across his mind, little snippets of possible futures playing out, the horrors, the beauties, all of it. Then he was there, and a wave of energy swept over his ship, like a blanket of destruction that he slipped through without a scratch. Scurries were shattered to bits, limbs and pieces of carapace left to float through the emptiness of space. But the space dragon was too powerful for such a simple attack as that, and it was gaining on them fast. If he had Napalm here too, perhaps they could create an energy wave strong enough to push his foe back so they could reach the gate. Relief washed over him as he heard the doors open, knowing they had arrived. In walked Samantha, Karma, and Quan. No sign of Dex or Napalm.
"Where are they?"
Hadrian asked, voice betraying his worry.
"Napalm was hit," Karma replied, running up to see that the display now showed images from around the ship.
Floating parts of the scurries, and in the center display, the rear image of the space dragon closing in on them. Its many horns were starting to glow as it charged up. Massive wings spread out from behind it, and though they couldn't see the body, Hadrian recognized the beast. He had survived then, but only barely. But without Napalm, he felt a sensation unfelt for quite some time. Fear.
"What is it?" Samantha asked.
The gate's very near, but the dragon is closing fast on us. If Napalm were here...
He turned to Karma.
Dex, you say? He has the robes around him?
Karma nodded, and Samantha frowned. Before she could ask, though, he explained,
Dex's robes are advanced biotech, almost to that magitech level. One robe accelerates the healing process, merging some of itself with the one in need of healing.
And the other layers of robes? Samantha asked.
I'll let him tell you,
Hadrian replied.
The point is, if he can heal fast enough... Quan, go check on them and let them know they are needed here as soon as possible. In the meantime...
His eyes wandered to Samantha. She took a step back. No, I don't... I told you, I can't remember how.
You might not have a choice.
And if I blow a hole in the ship? He winced, considering that.
It's a real possibility.
She stared up at him, eyes wide and full of doubt. I...
have no choice.
He finished for her.
Come, close your eyes. Focus. Feel the universe. Reach out and pull on it. Let it flow through you.
After a moment's hesitation, she closed her eyes.
Now, I need you with me,
he said.
Focus on the energy around us, and pushing it to the rear of the ship, throwing it. On three?
He counted and prepared to push, but nothing came from her. It's not working, she said, stating the obvious. He turned to his captain and said,
Fire everything we have at it. We have to stall for time.
He nodded at Samantha, trying to look encouraging.
We need to make this work. Do you understand me? I need you to recall what you learned. Return to your past self, if you must, and bring everything you can into this before...
With a loud explosion, the ship rocked. Everyone looked toward the screens to see a second shot coming at them. A yellow burst of light that exploded on the ship's force field. It rocked again, harder.
It was ready faster than we anticipated,
the captain said.
Weapons engaged.
Lasers and turrets opened on the dragon, but at this range, Hadrian knew it wouldn't do much.
Samantha, now!
He shouted, turning back to her and realizing the effect of his frustration. Her eyes looked betrayed, but she was stronger than that. Setting her jaw, she breathed deep and closed her eyes. Hadrian felt a movement around him. He closed his too, focusing, and said,
Now!
The wave of energy tore past them, joining the weapons in a strike against the space dragon. Hadrian stared at the screen, Samantha looking up beside him, and they waited. It must have closed on them, because now the weapons were in range. Missiles exploded, and the force hit a second later, causing the dragon to flinch, and then roar. It continued at them, unfazed. Holy shit, Samantha said, earning her a frown from the captain. Hadrian just stared. He knew it was no good. He was about to say so when the doors slid open again and Dex came in with Napalm at his side.
Someone said my skills were in demand,
Napalm said with a grin. He was still injured, but his wounds looked like they had been healing for weeks instead of mere minutes.
We're going to need all three of us,
Hadrian said, motioning him over.
It's stronger than anything I've ever seen.
Napalm sucked in a breath at the sight of the full beast.
Three?
He asked, then glanced over at Samantha. She gave him a confident nod.
Then let's not waste another second.
Together they closed their eyes. Hadrian said the word, and he felt a wave spread through the galaxy, this time growing with intensity as it expanded. He stepped forward, eager to see what would happen. The dragon's horns glowed bright, and it let out its own attack. Hadrian braced himself, unable to blink or turn away. Space seemed to ripple as the wave of energy reached outward, destroying the attack and smashing the dragon in the face like a wall. It reeled back, roaring, as particles of glowing horn drifted off into space. Before the dragon had a chance to recover, another image showed on the display. The gate.
"Captain, get us out of here,"
Hadrian commanded. He turned to his seat and strapped in, hoping to hide his exhaustion from the effort of the battle. Soon they were at the gate and passing through the purple light. As soon as they exited, he would shut off the nodes so the space dragon couldn't follow. Then they would find the one responsible for allowing their enemies through the gates. If they didn't hurry, who knows where the enemy could attack? In fact, he thought as his mouth went dry, they might have already caused more damage than he could imagine. With a sigh, he focused on the path ahead, on the knowledge that they were doing all in their power, and on the pride he felt in Samantha for being able to find her connection to the universe once again. Samantha kept thinking about how it had felt when the powers had coursed through her again. It was like everything from her youth came back, like a window to her past had been painted over, and now someone had stripped away the paint. Each snippet of memory felt clear, washing over her with the metallic scent of blood and gunpowder, the cool breeze of a warm morning when she had sat with her mother before a gunfight, watching the sunrise and talking about the old days. Then a memory came into focus of a time with Dan, when he had found her wandering the desert of Arizona, lost and confused. It had been the low point of her life, a time when she had almost given up. She hated that version of herself and wanted to banish it from her mind forever. But she couldn't separate it from the smile she had seen on Dan's face and the way he had embraced her after running over and shouting her name. They had barely known each other then, and she had nearly killed him with an explosion. The reception was completely unexpected, yet very welcome. Soon she was back on her feet, coming to realize that Dan had started a real resistance, one with access to drones and weapons, and now, mechs. Only now she was up here, without a clue as to how he and his LRR were holding out. Closing her eyes, trying to block out the thoughts, a final one slammed into her. One in a grocery store with Hadrian, holding her against her will with his powers, looking very different from the mentor she now stood next to.
"It'll pass,"
his smooth voice said, and she opened her eyes to stare at him. He smiled.
"The use of our powers frees up parts of the brain generally untapped. We have to open up those parts of the brain to access the power."
"And then the memories." She shuddered. "But you, I remember a different side of you." He nodded, thoughtful.
"There is much I can't explain yet, but you must trust that I have your best interests at heart. All we do is for the survival of the Alliance, and for Earth. You are key to both of those."
The others in the command center were glancing around nervously at this exchange. "It's not the first time I've been used," she said, then stormed out, followed a moment later by Napalm. A glance at his wounds made her feel like her problems were very petty, but she remained silent, unable to push out the negativity. She continued to the mess hall, not complaining when he sat down next to her at one of the tables.
"You know,"
he started,
"we'll be there soon. We'll meet some of the most powerful beings in the universe. the elders. Is this pouty face really the one you want them to see when they meet you?
She couldn't help but smile. Shut up.
There you go. A little laugh never killed anyone.
Since our job is apparently to kill a lot of someones, maybe laughing shouldn't be part of our existence anymore.
I'm going to imagine that you're still being affected by using so much energy.
He eyed her skeptically.
I like that explanation way more than you just being a teenage girl.
I'm not just a teenage girl.
But you are a girl, right?
This time she hit him playfully in the shoulder. He laughed and said,
doesn't hit like a girl.
I've known plenty of girls who could hit harder than most boys, me included.
And you're a teenager.
She considered this, not sure how to think of her response. I am 16, yes, but I feel like I've lived 50 lives, if you know what I mean. Napalm nodded.
Definitely.
For a long moment, he stared at her, and then said,
If I ever had a daughter, I'd want her to be as kick-ass as you are. I mean, what parent would have to worry about you being safe with what you can do?
Yeah, well, both of my parents are gone, so it doesn't matter.
So that's it.
She frowned. Excuse me?
Why you expect so much out of Hadrian? No parents, then he comes along with all his powers and the strong fatherly attitude about him. Of course you'd want him to be perfect.
I expect everyone around me to be perfect, she replied, present company included.
Me?
He scoffed, his fiery eyes flashing for a moment.
The first time I used my powers, it left me raw, vulnerable. I lashed out, nearly killed my entire family when I accidentally leveled the whole building we lived in.
Samantha stared, caught off guard by his opening up, and unsure if she should say something. After a moment, he continued.
I saved them all but the one I loved. She was precious, a treasure to my planet. And then she was gone.
I'm so sorry.
So was I.
He ran his hands together, pushing as if trying to remove gloves.
It was bad. Dark places, thoughts of ending my life. But in the end, I chose to study my power, to work on the craft until I knew without a doubt that I could be sure nothing like that would ever happen again. And in so doing, I became more powerful. So much so that Hadrian chose me out of all the members of my planet. Just as he chose you.
She shook her head. I'm not doubting my ability. I was there. I saw what I was capable of.
But?
It's just the memories, the feelings of distrust I felt toward him when we first met. All of that came flooding back, and it hit me. How do we know we're on the right side here? We've been doling out a lot of justice, without really bothering to step back and ask that question. He smiled knowingly.
The fact that you're having those thoughts is good. It shows me that your heart's in the right place.
My heart would be in a better place if it had answers.
How's this, then?
He stood, hands behind his back and at ease, as if briefing a superior in the military.
The first time I met Hadrian, he saved my life. He is therefore responsible for all of the lives I have saved since. And he returned more than once to my planet when times were tough. But it wasn't all violence, either. One time he took me to a lake and showed me what happened to his world, to the love of his life, and to his people. It was horrible and real. I saw it in his eyes, and eyes don't lie. At least, not to me.
He looked down so that his eyes met hers, and she couldn't turn away from the fire there. I want to do what's right,
I want to believe in him, but not blindly.
You see, you're telling the truth there.
Napalm held out a hand.
You have the desire to believe, but there's no proof. Not yet, or at least not in the sense that you want. But you can choose to have faith. Faith in him, and faith in me when I tell you that he is trustworthy, and that we're on the right path.
She considered this, wanting nothing more than to accept. Finally, she took his hand and nodded, repeating the word. Faith.
That's all we can ask for in times like this. Come, we'll be landing soon and you're gonna want to see this.
As they walked, he gave her a broad smile.
Welcome back, kiddo.
I'm not a kiddo. She snapped back, then smiled. But, yeah, thanks. If you can show me how to control that aftershock, I'd love to be able to never act like such a brat again. He chuckled and said,
I will. We would all love that, I'm sure.
To everyone's credit, they were all moving on, nobody mentioning the outburst.
Would anyone here like to see something magical?
Hadrian asked, turning with a sparkle in his eyes. He nodded to the captain, who brought up the display screens to show the image directly in front of them. They were rapidly approaching a large planet of deep pinks, purples, and areas of green. Blue flowed through it all, and she knew it must have some similarities to Earth, but was obviously vastly different in terms of its plant life. The sight took Samantha's breath away, along with any worries or doubts. All she felt in that moment of first seeing Antano Fos Prime was a burning passion to rid the universe of evil. It was time to grow up. No more training, only kicking butt in the name of survival. Chapter 15. Antano Fos Prime. This was the first time Samantha had stepped foot on a planet of such beauty. It felt magical, like a painter might have imagined Earth to have looked once, long before the invasion. Orange and pink light sparkled off of misty waterfalls in the distance. Tall hills with lush vegetation growing as far as the eye could see. It wasn't the shades of green from back home, but more of a purple and red that reminded her of a tulip field in a dream. They had landed in a high-tech facility in the slopes of a mountain, then taken a path out and around to the side, where a valley led to a series of buildings with high, slanted roofs. It's so... Karma started. Majestic. Samantha finished for her. I was going to say similar to my home world, but yeah, that fits. Samantha turned to Napalm and Dex. If you two tell me your worlds are the same, I'm gonna feel like Earthers get a pretty shitty deal. Napalm laughed.
My world's more like islands of land surrounded by lakes of fire. Not the most pleasant, but his?
He turned to Dex, but Dex just kept moving forward.
You all don't want to see Dex's world,
Hadrian commented.
There are worse places in the universe, but not many. In fact, Earth is one of the more beautiful planets in the universe, if you know where to look.
I'm guessing those places are areas man has yet to get his hands on, Samantha replied. He nodded.
Somehow, your people have a way of really messing up everything you touch. Now, let's not pretend that's an anomaly, though. Much of the universe shares that in common with you all.
But your people didn't?
When we inhabited our planet, we increased its beauty. We did not destroy it.
And those who live here are doing a fine job, Samantha noted. Hadrian agreed, and soon they were entering the village below.
A young woman with skin like moving water showed them to their rooms and said that the elders would call them for a feast soon, during which they could discuss business.
"First, rest," the woman said. "I know it's been a long journey."
She excused herself, and Hadrian turned to address his team.
"She's right. After this, we will be moving quickly. You won't have time to rest, for all we know. A true warrior learns to get it when she can."
Samantha didn't have to be told twice. Although she did long to wander the hillsides of this foreign planet, that could come later, she told herself, as she stepped into her room, then stopped in awe. The room was like a futuristic palace, high, arched ceilings with chandeliers, walls that looked like marble but were warm to the touch, and furniture laced in a white and gold that resembled silk. She stumbled in, realizing how exhausted she was, and threw herself on the bed, not even bothering to change. Her bio-armor suit now almost felt like pajamas, likely due to the biotech aspect Hadrian had mentioned. She turned over onto her back and stared. A round window on the ceiling showed the bottom of a pond. Strange fish of turquoise and bright pink swam by, some pausing to look down at her, then moving along, all in a rippling water that reminded her of a kaleidoscope from her youth. Finally, she grew restless. As tired as she was, being on this new planet made her mind race with questions. She sat up and paced the room, then pressed the button at the back of the suit's neck. Her helmet came out, and she checked to be sure she had used all of her skill points. She had. She looked at the skill tree anyway, and was intrigued by the different possibilities. While she had chosen the path with electricity and lightning, there were elemental paths, and others she hadn't noticed before. Some focused on being a powerful warrior, others on being more sneaky and even more of an assassin. Flicking through that path, she started rethinking her original decision. Maybe she could do both if she spent enough time grinding? Hell, maybe she could do it all. Now that she had performed the blast again with Hadrian, she wondered what else she was capable of. In the past, she had been able to hover, almost like flying. While her mind had told her that couldn't have happened, that it was all a dream, she now understood that not to be the case. With time to kill, and since her eyes insisted on staying open instead of letting her drift off to the sleep she certainly needed, she stood on the bed and decided to test it. Trying to focus on the universe and its energy as she had before, she took a step from the bed and fell. The impact of her fall didn't hurt, but it annoyed her. If she could do the other thing, why not this? Calling on the energy again, she held her hands out and imagined the air lifting her up, carrying her across the room. If anyone could have seen her, they would have thought she was an idiot. Standing there like that, she had to admit she felt the part. When she opened her eyes, she saw she was right where she had started. "Screw all that," she thought. At least she had upgraded her grip a few times. She dashed at the wall and leaped up onto it. She ran along it for a few steps, then decided to try something new. Instead of simply jumping off, she stopped. For a moment, she lingered, and then fell. It hadn't worked, but for that split second, she had felt the possibility of it. A sensation of pure ecstasy took over. It could be real, she knew, if she put her mind to it. Pulling up her skill matrix, she saw that grip could go up at least 10 more levels. Maybe if she maxed it out, she would be able to cling to the wall like a spider. That thought thrilled her. If she changed trajectory to the assassin skill branch, it would likely be an invaluable part of her abilities. Her mind was reeling with questions and possibilities when she heard voices whispering loudly in the hallway. She put her ear to the door, eyes glancing around for exit routes in case it got dangerous.
"You go,"
one of them was saying in heavily accented English.
"Come on, she's not going to chop your head off just for knocking on the door."
That was enough to assure her it wasn't a threat, though she wondered about them speaking her language while speaking with each other. She opened her door to find a group of four younger locals, their skin with the same watery effect as the woman who had welcomed them. They seemed to be nudging each other forward, as if wanting to ask something. They were intimidated, Samantha realized, so she pressed the button to remove her helmet.
"Yes?"
One got shoved forward from the rest and said something in a completely unintelligible language that sounded more like grumbling from the back of his throat. She frowned, confused. The young man made another sound, then reached forward toward her ear. She pulled back, but he held up his hands, repeating the phrase, and then moved in slowly. The way his skin moved was even more noticeable this close, and she could see it was an illusion, like a thin layer of mist, though solid. Maybe a shield of some sort?
"Is that better?"
the man asked, pulling his hand back just as a small pinching sensation hit Samantha's ears. She pulled back, hand to her mouth.
"I understood you."
He nodded, trying not to laugh, and pointed to her ear.
"That button there, at the side of your suit. Same effect as when you have the helmet on, but this way we can see your face."
She felt her ears, and, sure enough, there were small metallic items clipped there with a ribbed side like a seashell. They introduced themselves to Sam, and then one of the young women said,
"Will you come with us? Napalm said to show you the place, said we have a bit of time before dinner."
As tired as she was, and as much as she wanted to explore her suit skills, she was also interested in checking out this new planet. So she agreed. Soon she was walking along a cliff with the small group. The distant sun, she knew it was technically a star, but it was just easier to think of it as a sun, was high at an angle in the sky. It cast deep shadows across the hills and made the many waterfalls glisten, reflecting the pink of the surrounding flowers and glimmering like rose gold. Three moons were particularly visible at different points in the sky.
"Is your world like this?"
the tallest of the group asked, the one who had introduced himself as Furder. He wore a dark blue jacket with a high collar that reminded Samantha of a military dress uniform. She shrugged.
"Earth has its differences. One moon, for instance."
He beamed.
"We have 13.
She licked her lips, trying to imagine that.
"I'm sorry, but who are you all? I mean, what role do you play here?"
"Oh, they haven't told you?"
Furder said, smiling broadly.
"We'll be your escort, your guards. They're going to discuss the details of the mission at dinner, but there's no doubt there will be a mission."
"A mission worthy of guards?"
Samantha actually found herself relieved by that. She would have hated to be taken from the fight back home to be doing menial work out here. The thought of her friends caused her to walk in silence for a moment, watching the water plummet into the river far below. Dan would likely be wondering where she had gone. Maybe he thought she was dead, or taken by the drones. Or maybe they figured she'd been crushed under one of the collapsing buildings. Would he stay and try to dig her out? She certainly hoped not, but knowing him, she wouldn't be surprised. With a sigh, her mind wandered to him and Ashley. Those two deserved each other. They should be happy. Though images of a dead Ashley flashed into the part of her brain she couldn't control at the thought of them together, she knew that wasn't what she wanted for them. She was off fighting in space now. The least she could hope for them was that they had each other, to watch each other's backs, to be there when the other was lonely.
Thoughts of back home?
Samantha nodded. Caught me.
I've always dreamed of visiting Earth someday.
Furter glanced away, frowning.
But I hear your people aren't very open to outsiders.
With a laugh, Samantha shook her head. Considering we've been in a fight with alien invaders for 3 or 4 years now, I'd have to say that's accurate. Before that, it was more that nobody would have believed you existed. Well, maybe the crazies.
Crazies?
He looked at his companions, and they all burst into laughter. Did you all always believe in life on other planets? Samantha asked, offended. The woman, Olive, gave her a friendly smile, but it had a hint of pity.
Of course, but then again, we've always had multiple planetary species living on this planet. So much so, as a matter of fact, that I don't know if I could really tell you who the aliens are and who the original inhabitants are.
I haven't seen anyone that looks very different from you guys, Samantha noted. Furter shrugged.
Not yet. Just wait for dinner.
We're here!
Olive shouted with a yelp of glee as she ran ahead. Samantha was about to ask where, but a moment later the woman had gone over the cliff, laughing with excitement the whole way down.
Holy shit!
Samantha exclaimed as she ran to the edge of the cliff. She looked down and saw Olive land in the water far below.
Is she okay?
Only one way to find out,
one of the others said, as he and the other woman jumped too. Only Furter remained now. He smiled, shrugged, and ran.
You all are nuts, Samantha called after him. Freaking crazy-ass loonies.
All she heard in response was a long, woo-hoo! And a final splash as he hit the water below. Again she looked over, her view blocked by a flock of winged creatures, somewhere between a swan and a bat, with webbed red wings.
Well, damn it,
she said to herself, glancing around to see she was alone. Being the last to do anything wasn't her style, and she certainly wasn't going to just stand there while the others had jumped. With a deep exhale, she ran and jumped. The power and speed of the armor gave her an extra boost. So while the others had fallen almost straight down, she went flailing out past them, arms windmilling as she screamed. The air rushed past, and mist splattered her face, and she saw the water coming up fast. At the last opportunity, she reached back and hit the button for her helmet to come up. Just as it surrounded her head, she hit water, sinking until her feet nearly touched the bottom of the lake. All around her, creatures scattered, fluorescent fish, some with legs and wings like sea dragons, others with long snouts that reminded her of anteaters. Her HUD flashed a warning sign, and then she was on the bottom of the lake. She could breathe, but she supposed that made sense, considering that the suit allowed her to breathe in space. In no hurry, she watched the creatures move around her, slowly coming out of hiding to see what had disturbed them. One with at least 100 long arms, somewhere between a jellyfish and an octopus, started for her, and at that she decided she'd had enough. She bent her knees and pushed off, flailing her arms until she reached the top. It was a good thing her apartment growing up had a pool, because other than that, she hadn't had much opportunity to swim. It wasn't like such luxuries were commonplace during the war against the Syndicate Army back on Earth. As her head surfaced, a pang of guilt hit her at the thought of being here having fun when they should be out there finding the bad guy. Hadrian knew what he was doing, though, she supposed. If they had to have this dinner with the elders before setting out, so be it. But that didn't mean she liked to wait.
You made it,
Furter said, swimming over. The rest had already climbed out of the water and had apparently been running along the water's edge, looking for any sign of her. Samantha sent the helmet back, but kept her translators in place and smiled.
And the suit works in water, too. Good way to find out.
Get over here, you crazy girl!
Olive shouted.
We thought you were dead.
I might be. Maybe I've been dead for years and you all are part of my afterlife experience.
Sounds like you got screwed in that deal,
Furter said, beaming and treading water next to her.
If we're angels, we're poor excuses for angels. Demons? Even worse.
He motioned and then started swimming.
Stay close.
When they made it to land, Samantha's suit engaged in an auto-dry function, causing the rest to step back and eye her with surprise until it was done.
I don't appreciate games, Samantha said, when the suit completed the drying process. I'm not here for that.
Then you'll be glad to hear this isn't a game,
Furter said, pointing up at the nearby cliffs.
Excuse me?
Now we climb. Truth is, since we're going to be your guards up here, Napalm thought it best to get in some joint training, get to know each other's abilities and all that.
Did he? Samantha laughed. And I bet he's up there right now, relaxing in a bath and laughing his ass off.
The others frowned, confused.
Sorry, laughing one's ass off doesn't translate in our language,
Olive said, turning to glance at Samantha's ass.
They don't actually come off, do they?
Not that I'm aware of, Samantha replied. Figure of speech. Shall we?
Well then.
Furter slapped his own butt and nodded to the cliffs.
Let's climb until our asses fall off.
Samantha considered correcting him, but instead rushed ahead and shouted out,
Last one up is a rotten egg!
Before leaping for the cliff and starting to run along it with her enhanced grip. She was glad the suit had mostly dried, because her first step slipped slightly. But then she was running, finding a ledge, using her enhanced jump, and repeating. Halfway up, the other four came whooping behind her. They moved along the cliff like monkeys in the trees, throwing themselves from handhold to handhold with the massive drop beneath. Samantha's armor had given her the ability to make it as she had, and she was damn impressed with what this group was able to do without help.
Try to keep up, Earther,
Furter said, and started to pass her.
Oh, hell no.
Samantha threw herself at the ledge, leaping and putting her feet out to catch it in a run. Then she attempted something new, running straight up. To her surprise, it worked. Well, it worked until it didn't. About 15 paces from her starting point, when the grip wore off. With a shout of surprise, she reached out and grabbed a purple tree that was sticking out from the edge, but it gave with her weight, and she felt herself starting to fall. She desperately looked for another, then reached and grabbed hold of a rock, but it crumbled away.
Here come the curse words,
she thought, as gravity took hold and tensed for impact.
Whoa there,
Olive said, suddenly at her side. With one hand plunged into the rock near her, she reached out to grab Samantha's wrist. Samantha found herself dangling, only this woman between her and falling. They were over the rocks instead of water now, and she wasn't exactly sure of the limits of her suit.
Guess this is a test of trust, huh?
Olive said with a playful smile.
If an Earther had me like this, think she would pull me up?
Samantha pursed her lips, refusing to play that game.
Don't get your panties in a bunch,
Olive said, swinging Samantha so that she landed on a nearby ledge.
See? I learned some of your phrases.
I happen to not like that one very much,
Samantha said.
And any Earther who would play games like that would be slapped. Hard.
I saved you, didn't I?
Olive noted with a shrug, and then took off again. her hands plowing into the rock for new handholds along the way.
So that's how they did it,
Samantha noted. She glanced down at her gloves, then at the cliff, wondering. Fingers spread, she jabbed her hand forward to see if they could break the rocks, and then stubbed all of her fingers in a painful moment of regret. Maybe after a few strength upgrades? She took a deep breath to push away the fear of almost falling, then stepped back and started running again, this time returning to her upward, semi-horizontal strategy. She reached the top, though after the rest. While the suit had helped her, it still had taken a lot of energy, and she knelt, catching her breath.
Not bad,
Furter said, walking over to help her up.
You keep up with us out there like this, you'll do just fine.
Wait for the combat to start, she replied, hands over her head to catch her breath. We'll see who's keeping up with who.
She turned to Olive, frowning. Speaking of which, maybe we test that out next?
That was all in good fun, Olive countered,
but her hands were clenched into fists.
It is almost time for the feast,
Furter noted, glancing between the two.
And did I miss something?
Olive just stared, waiting to see how Samantha replied. Finally, Samantha smiled.
You're right. I'm famished. Let's head back.
The others shared a look of confusion. Furter dropped behind to have a word with Olive as they made their way to the palace. But as far as Samantha was concerned, she would let it go, for now. She didn't appreciate people or aliens messing with her, but wasn't going to be petty about it. Not right now, anyway. She had made the combat suggestion as a bit of a challenge, but to her surprise, halfway back to the palace, she found Napalm doing just that. A circle of men and women formed around him as he moved in a circle, shirtless. Some looked like her new companions, with others ranging from short and furry to lanky, scaly reptiles. Craning her neck to see who he was up against, she nearly missed the lady who darted in, clocked Napalm, and then body slammed him into the ground.
Damn it!
He shouted, throwing her off. It was Karma.
What's this?
Samantha shouted, stepping forward.
Enough!
Napalm held up a hand, while his other went to his bloody nose.
See, Sam? I let you have the fun training.
She paused, hesitantly looking at them each in turn.
This is training? It looks more like an ass-whooping.
Karma laughed. Our friend here asked me to train him in hand-to-hand. The others wanted to watch.
So far she's taught me how to take a punch,
Napalm said with a bloody grin.
Can't say I'm getting any better at it, though.
The crowd laughed.
How about you?
A tall blue alien asked, staring at Samantha.
We hear Earthers are notoriously horrible fighters.
Samantha scoffed.
That might be true of most of them, but whoever you heard that from never met me.
We should get going,
Furter insisted.
Give it a rest, the blue one said. Eliolations, always following the rules.
When we live under the rule of the elders?
Furter replied.
Yes.
One small demonstration.
The blue alien smiled, his teeth pointy and black.
I'll even step in this time.
You don't have to do this,
Furter whispered to Samantha.
The guy's a, how you say, big penis?
Samantha laughed.
A dick?
Furter nodded seriously.
Yes, huge dick. Crippled someone in training a couple years back. Isn't even allowed in the Kronos Corps anymore.
But Samantha had made up her mind. She put her metaphorical blinders on, turning to the alien.
Let's give them a show, she said.
pressing the button to bring her helmet forward.
What's his name?
They call me Breaker,
the blue alien said, heaving off his enormous coat so that he came in topless, as Napalm had. Napalm and Karma cleared the area, each with cautious glances Samantha's way. She held up a hand to show she had this.
On your mark?
Breaker said, bawling his blue hands into fists.
Go!
Samantha said, and came at him. Her first strike was aimed at his stomach, but he simply took it and laughed, then picked her up and threw her. She landed with a thud, but quickly rolled out of it. His foot landed, stomping the ground where her torso had been, followed by his knee. She blocked the knee and threw herself forward to slam her helmet into his face, sending him stumbling backward. He recovered in time to see her throwing a punch, but not in time to dodge it. The strike took him on the side of his face, a second on his torso again. The face shot caused some damage, judging by the look in his eyes, but the torso shot had been more of a test. It confirmed that he didn't feel pain in that area, or at least didn't show it. When her third punch came, he tried to block it, but she had thrown it as a feint and instead went for a leg sweep. Breaker smiled, keeping himself planted so that her attack was like kicking at a firmly rooted tree. She stumbled back as he plowed forward, again lifting her into the air and slamming her down. This time, it knocked the wind out of her.
Not so tough, Earther,
Breaker said, pointy black teeth inches from her helmet.
Maybe I'll pick on a grown woman next time, see if she fares any better.
Try this on for size,
Samantha said through gritted teeth, grabbing him by the back of his head and slamming his face into her helmet. She brought up a leg and knocked him sideways so that she was on top of him and brought an elbow down. He moved his head to the side and thrust up, sending her flying away. This time, though, she landed on her feet.
She drew first blood on you!
Someone shouted from the crowd. Breaker wiped at his nose, where black blood was starting to ooze out.
Playtime's over,
Breaker said, and then took a deep breath. Like a blowfish, he suddenly expanded, spikes sticking up and muscles bulging. He ran forward, eyes wild and a war cry on his lips. Samantha decided she didn't want to find out if those spikes could penetrate her armor. It was time to put an end to this. She spun, diving under his attack, and came up with a kick to his ass that sent him sprawling in the dirt, face first. The crowd erupted in laughter. Breaker threw himself over and came at her on all fours, quick and darting like a lizard. Seeing his face was exposed, she brought a foot up and stomped, moving fast with her enhanced speed. With a crack, the strike made black blood gush.
It's over, she said, hands up as she took a step back. Show's over.
Not your say, you earth-sucking piece of shit.
He was up, coming at her with wild strikes, hoping for any hit he could land. But as she had said, it was over. She dodged, sweeping his strikes aside and throwing the flat edge of her hand at his throat. He stumbled back, gasping for air, and then she stepped forward, ready to end it. With a final strike, she spun and backhanded Breaker, knocking him to the ground. A stunned silence followed, and then sudden cheers.
Told you!
Furter shouted over the cheering.
Not many here like big penises, big dicks.
Either way, Samantha said with a laugh, and then yelped in surprise as the crowd picked her up on their shoulders and started chanting,
Our champion! Our champion!
Over and over. This was the last thing she had expected, and when she turned back to look for Karma and Napalm, she saw that the crowd had them on their shoulders as well, carrying all three of them back to the palace. Soon a song started instead of the chant, and she leaned back and let the crowd carry her, simply enjoying it.
"Remind me never to mess with you again,"
Olive shouted from next to her, then gave her a wink and joined in the song. Hadrian waited at the window, looking out at the gardens. They had set him up in a room in the Orleanian Palace for his duration on Entano Fos Prime, and he appreciated the hospitality. The family of Orlean was an old and powerful one, and not without its drama. They had started as slaves on the outskirts of the universe, Magna Tenebros Prime, but they had fought for their freedom and become one of the most important families in the Alliance. By the time they had moved in on their enemies and taken over the Entano Fos planetary system, a good half of the universe had risen up to follow them. Fortunately for Earth, none of the universe's worries had made it out their way. Until now, that is. The 10th Orlean, the woman who now presided over the palace, was far from those early ancestors, though. She was smart and brave, and Hadrian trusted her with his life, which is why he had sworn to serve the Alliance under her. Movement on the horizon pulled him back to the view outside, and a smile found its way to his lips. The locals were carrying his team back, chanting one of their ancient warrior chants. It flowed like the wind, pleasant, reminding him of earthly hymns. Moments like these were good for celebration and levity, as long as they didn't make his team complacent. They had a long and perilous journey ahead of them, starting with taking care of the one behind the betrayal of the gates. One of his own. He sighed, the smile fading, and made his way to the dining hall. If they were returning, that meant the dinner would soon be ready. It also meant it was time to discuss who this traitor could be and how best to deal with it. Each hall was splendid in its own right. One was made of glowing green jade, which held the healing factors Earthers so rarely understood. Another hallway was constructed entirely out of emeralds and jewels, some from every planet on the side of the Alliance. Even having walked that hallway 1,000 times, its brilliance took his breath away. Then came the hallway of shadows, one he often preferred to avoid. With walls that seemed to move and reach for you, many made a point of steering clear of this part of the palace. However, it had its purpose. At the end of the hallway were the chambers of the Lord of Whispers, a being from the same galaxy as Dex. Rumor had it this being had emerged from a black hole. Immune to gravity and vulnerable only to the rays of sunlight, he remained hidden at most times. His purpose was also hidden from most, but not Hadrian. Entering the chambers always gave him a shiver of fright. The passageway was dark, but for a violet glow that emerged from behind the reaching shadows. The shadows seemed alive, floating around Hadrian as he walked, almost pulling back on him as if warning him not to continue. A grating sound carried through the room, like bones grinding on the inside of his skull. To anyone else, this would have been maddening, but not so with Hadrian. He knew the tricks, and he knew how to block them out. On he walked, an impossible distance for the length of the room, and then he suddenly spun around. The being he sought floated before him. If these beings had ever visited Earth, Hadrian imagined it would largely explain the human fascination with ghosts. One of its kind could easily be mistaken for a paranormal being, floating with white torn cloths moving around itself as if submerged in water. Where the face should be, the white robes gave way to violet eyes, the same as the glow from the dark passageways. Hadrian bowed, then lifted his hands to show submission. A low purring sound came from the being, and then it extended a hand. It was gray and withered, with a pulsating purple light at its center. As the light grew, its center became black, as if there was simply nothing. For a moment, Hadrian paused. Even he faced fear from time to time. Visiting this creature had always been one of those times. Not just because of what it was, but because of what the vision might show. Steeling his nerves, he bent forward, submerging his face in the light and nothingness. Then he was in space, feeling himself pulled in various directions as gravity moved and refused to let go. A series of planets was spiraling around him, and then he was sucked out even farther, to the farthest extent of the being's reach. He froze. They were there, the great deceivers. While the universe contained a variety of beings, these were the vilest at times, the most beautiful when it suited their needs. A star map hovered around them, with various targets lit up while they discussed plans of attack, shifting in their range of appearances. Some would appear like beautiful gods one moment, surrounded by lights that flickered in and out like their own stars. Then they would sneer at the one next to them, their skin appearing like burnt leather, torn and still smoldering, their eyes like lava. Hadrian never enjoyed looking in on them, but it wasn't their forms that drew his attention. It was the star system that surrounded them, their map. And from what he could tell, they were moving in dangerously close, much more advanced than they should have been for this soon in the timeline. In a collective movement, the great deceivers turned to him, keenly aware of his presence. He pulled back, fighting to be away from them before they could do him harm. As he came back, all of space seemingly collapsing around him, he caught a glimpse of the space dragon. It was on the move, closer than he liked to admit. And then he saw the towers, two more great serpents, emerging from the emptiness of deep space. With a sputtering breath, he was free of the visions, back in the room with the being. He lifted his arm and produced a knife, then waited until the light had faded from the being's hands. With a quick downward slice, Hadrian had produced his blood sacrifice. It dripped down into the being's hand, pulling as if an invisible wind held it. He never wanted to know what the being did with the blood. When it was done, he quickly nodded, turned, and departed. To know what was truly coming might be terrifying, but it was necessary. The great deceivers weren't supposed to reach Earth yet. He had seen it so. But his visions were fickle, not always set in stone. If this other from his world was manipulating the gates, everything could change. Earth and the rest of the universe were undeniably doomed if they didn't succeed in this mission. Unfortunately, he first needed to convince the other elders of this, so that they would devote the resources to seeing it through. And dealing with the elders had never been high on his items of enjoyable tasks. Chapter 16. Entano Fos Prime, Great Hall. Alien races of all species gathered in the palace's Great Hall. Samantha had finally changed out of her armor and now wore a white robe that draped her body in a way that reminded her of falling cherry blossoms. An emerald braided rope held it up around her right shoulder, its golden cloth trailing behind her. Napalm entered a moment later, wearing a similar robe. Seeing it on him, she didn't feel so silly, though still way more exposed than normal. The way the robe flowed loosely on her curves made her more aware of her body than the skin-tight armor. It didn't help when she noticed Napalm's eyes on her.
"You clean up well, kid,"
Napalm said, nodding his approval. "She's half your age," Karma interjected. "I hope you're not hitting on her." Napalm laughed.
"I don't hit on teammates.
Not ones half my age and not carpet-munching aliens that hate men, in case you ever make the mistake in thinking I'm hitting on you, too.
For your information, there are no carpets on my planet.
Karma bit her lip, trying not to smile. Samantha already knew what was coming and started to walk away, but had only gotten 3 steps when the alien lady smiled and added, "Only smooth marble."
"Okay, we get the joke,"
Samantha said, turning back with exasperation.
"Joke? Statement of fact?"
Karma shrugged.
"It's not even a matter of grooming, just how it is among the civilized. No offense."
"Oh my God."
Samantha turned to find her seat and was glad to see Furter there, motioning her over. Quan was at another table, schmoozing with a group of men who looked very much like him, none of them wearing the silly robes. Instead, they wore red and black in a fashion more like gladiators.
"That's not fair," Napalm complained. "Nobody gave me that option."
"Don't you know?"
Karma gave Quan a wave, to which he nodded curtly and returned to his company.
"He's with us, but the Red Company has already claimed him for when he's not on mission."
"Meaning?"
Samantha asked.
"It means that if we're not off doing our black op shit, he'll be with them, tearing ships to pieces and blowing up planets."
Napalm actually looked impressed as he said it.
"Quan there was with the Rock Marines, and they've had a faction up here for some time, actually."
"Bullshit,"
Samantha said, frowning. "Other Earthers, humans, are already in space?" Napalm laughed.
"You thought you were the first? Come on, I think there's even some of the U.S. Fleet Marines out in one of these galaxies, up to something or other. You just happen to be the first Hadrian has brought up."
"Which makes you and Quan there very special,"
Karma noted.
"We were going to find our seats?"
Samantha glanced back over at Quan as they made their way forward, noticing how at ease he was. Did she give off that same level of comfort, or was it obvious she was the new kid on her first day of school? As they sat, Furter welcomed them and then found his own seat nearby. Samantha turned back to Karma.
"What do we do when there's no Black Ops mission?"
"My planet has its war,"
Karma replied, a darkness moving over.
"They'll need me at some point. Napalm here?"
He shrugged.
"I don't care where I am, as long as I get to blow shit up."
Karma rolled her eyes at that.
"And you, Sam, I believe Hadrian has special plans for you. Private training, but he also mentioned something about securing Earth's future. Sounds very important."
"That's an understatement," Samantha said with a scoff. "So after this, I might get to go back and finish off this war against the Syndicate?"
"I don't know the details,"
Karma replied.
"But that's my guess."
Samantha felt her palms go clammy as a light sweat broke out. Her eyes darted around for Hadrian, wanting to know more about this. Unfortunately, she spotted him at the head table with the elders. While she might not know alien tradition and custom here, she was pretty sure interrupting their conversation for such a simple question wouldn't likely go over too well. Instead, she took a sip of water as she watched them in discussion, keenly aware of Hadrian losing himself from time to time, staring off into nothingness. This wasn't the time to be thinking about herself. This was the time to get the mission done. After that, she'd go with the flow, whatever was best for the Alliance.
"Samantha?"
Karma said, pulling her out of her thoughts.
"Hmm?"
Karma nodded to Furter, who had apparently been saying something.
"Try the Endric,"
Furter said, motioning to the platter being passed over to Samantha. She smiled and held out her plate as he scooped something that looked like chicken onto it. With an uneasy feeling, she saw the red wings on the platter, knowing it must have been those weird-looking bat swans she had seen outside. Oh well, she thought. When in Rome. And with that, she took a big, juicy bite.
How's it compare to what you have back home?
Olive asked, leaning in from down the table a ways. Samantha thought about that, considering that it was somewhere between chicken and something she had once tried at a sushi restaurant. Slimy, yet satisfying, was all she could think to say, recalling a quote from some old movie from way before she was born.
Meaning?
Meaning? Samantha replied with another large bite. It's delicious. The locals beamed at this, then started offering her more dishes. She was famished, so dug in, though she was pretty sure most of this stuff would have freaked her out any other time. Hadrian knew many gathered that evening, but was distracted with the personal nature of the mission. When he set out to put together his team, he had known something was amiss, and that the enemy was moving faster than should have been possible. He'd never suspected that the mission would be to go after the only other survivor of his own planet. Needless to say, he couldn't bring himself to eat. He would sooner stay in his room, maybe have a one-on-one meeting with Orlean to discuss their plans. But that wasn't the way of the Elders. They did everything larger than life. While he was technically one of them, and even had a seat at the high table, it was for that reason he had refused to settle down and help rule. He liked action, not grand talk. He meant to lead his team. With his capabilities, it was the only way that made sense. Plus, there was the issue of Earth's defense and the war they were facing, along with the bigger war they were about to face. Hadrian had to be the one at Samantha's side to ensure it went according to plan. The others seemed to be fitting in well with the locals, and Hadrian was glad to see Quan had met up with his counterparts. If this was going to work, they needed to be a close-knit team, but also part of a larger, cohesive unit. No one should see them as outsiders, or the privileged few. Even if they were, at least as far as Hadrian was concerned. When his team put their mind to a task, he had no doubt they'd see it through. Orlean finally clinked her glass, just loud enough to get the attention of those seated at the high table. Hadrian was already silent, so sat waiting for the dark-skinned Elevite, a tall race with pointed ears and fierce tiger-like eyes, and the Aura Cat at his left, with her feline nose and mouth, to stop talking. One of the elders, the only other one to remain quiet for most of the meal, gave him a respectful nod. She was a Ruramenti, a race that was practically indistinguishable from human, and considered themselves peacekeepers. He respected that, and was always put at ease at the sight of her. When all were silent, Orlean leaned forward, eyes fixed on Hadrian.
"I'm not sure you're the best fit for this mission," she said,
the words hitting him like an Elevision warhammer to the face.
"Excuse me?"
She frowned.
"You're too close.
If anyone's going to find one of my kind, it will be me."
The others whispered among themselves, then stopped at a glance from Orlean.
"Surely you've figured out who it is by now," Orlean said. "It's not just about this being a hunt for one of your own. You two were like brothers, almost inseparable."
"Karstrak."
Hadrian closed his eyes, finding it odd that his gut didn't clench to the extent he had thought it would, as he realized she was right. She nodded, confirming it.
"The prisoner cracked. Didn't know much, but knew enough for us to be certain on this one fact, along with where we might start our hunt for him.
How can it be?
He finally managed.
Only one body was never recovered,
Orlean noted, the blue of her eyes turning dark as she spoke.
But I saw the explosion. I saw...
You saw what he wanted you to see.
She cut in with a wave of her hand.
Tell me, Hadrian the Great and Powerful, did you ever absorb his energy?
Hadrian froze, eyes narrowed, feeling a heat burn in his chest. It was true that this had never made sense. When the others of his kind passed on, he had felt each of their powers, their energy and everything they were capable of, absorbing into his soul, becoming one with him. But not this one. Not the brother in arms he had known his whole life, the man who introduced him to his love, and who Hadrian would have done anything for.
Karstrak.
Hadrian shook his head, eyes moving to the untouched food before him.
There's no other viable explanation.
That much was clear, and Hadrian hated it. He almost hated Orlean for being the one to point out the obvious. And even now, faced with the truth, he couldn't fully accept it. He sat there for a moment, trying to gather his calm. Finally, he stood, placing his napkin on the table in front of him, and said,
If anyone's going to kill my brother, it will be me. I must look him in the eyes and understand what he has done, or do